Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit's gonna be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prison. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Black power, brothers and sisters, black power. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Wednesday night broadcast coming to you live tonight. We are going to continue our Wednesday night rebroadcast, that is, of the Your Immunity Project that is hosted by Dr. Aleem Muhammad and his team with the Your Immunity Project. They do their Zoom conference calls and meetings every Tuesday night, giving us up-to-date information in regards to this COVID pandemic. So what we do and will continue to do is on Wednesday nights, we rebroadcast those meetings from Tuesday to keep us current up-to-date on all things related to the COVID pandemic from the perspective of black people doing for self and addressing this matter. So before we play this clip, however, from yesterday, I have a couple of other clips we're going to play, just continuing to give us political education on the histories of vaccines. So we're going to play a couple of other pre-clips, and then we'll get into Tuesday's program, the rebroadcast of yesterday's Your Money Project, that is, Black Power.
We want to cover the subject of the relationship between vaccines and human reproduction, since that was one of Yaqub's objectives on the island of Patmos in the making of the Caucasian people and the brown and yellow races. And since it's the aim of the synagogue of Satan, following his pattern to control human reproduction, we want to address that. But before doing that, we want to set the stage with this short clip from a discussion that I had with Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad in 2009. Please watch this.
Right, and it's no wonder that we have the who now also. I mean, all the hands seem to be the same hand.
Yeah. And see, that issue of vaccine contamination is the number one reason that in 1997, I issued, as the Minister of Health and Human Services
right.
for the Nation of Islam, a moratorium on vaccines. It wasn't that I had a problem with the validity of the theory
right.
of vaccination. I think I have more concern about that now than I did at that time. But it was really the simple issue of contamination.
Right.
That even if vaccines are good, in theory, they certainly are not good if they're contaminated.
Right, right.
And all vaccines that I know about that are administered in the United States of America are contaminated. And, of course, the original contaminating virus that appeared in the polio vaccine going back to the late 50s and
right.
into the 60s and to 2009. The polio vaccine administered in 2009 is still contaminated with the SV40 virus, simian virus number 40,
right.
Properly known as the polyoma virus. And poly means many, oma means tumors or cancer. So the polyoma virus was actually the first virus that was discovered that could actually cause cancer.
Right. And that's and this is why, I mean, some people attribute the rise in cancer to that vaccine.
Absolutely. You see, that's why in the 1950s, a woman's chances of getting breast cancer may have been less than 1 in 10. And a man's chance of getting prostate cancer was even less than that. But now, and then by the time I was in medical school, you see, in 1975, the risk of breast cancer was 1 in 6 or 1 in 7. And now it's 1 in 3.
Wow.
And every time that tumor that appears in the breast in a woman or in the prostate in a man has been studied for the presence of SV40, there that cancer virus is.
Right.
It doesn't cause cancer right away. It causes cancer 30, 40, and 50 years after the injection. So almost no one is able to connect the dots, you see. But and now, just as recently as 10 years ago or so, when my schoolmate,
right.
Dr. David Satcher,
right.
he was in D.C., so I invited him to come by the clinic because I wanted to talk to him about vaccines.
Now he was the head of the CDC.
At that time, he was the head of the CDC,
right.
later became the
right.
Surgeon General.
Yes, sir.
So at that time, he was the head of the CDC, and he was mounting a strong campaign to see that all Americans received all of their vaccines. And so I asked him about SV40. And he was the one that informed me of what I didn't know. I didn't know that it was still in the vaccines.
Oh.
I thought that when they had discovered it in the 60s that they took steps to remove it. He said, no, it's still there.
Man.
It's still there. And then he poo-pooed the risk, saying that it wasn't worth doing anything about.
Right,
and then I asked him about, well, what about the epidemic in cancer that we're experiencing in this country? And, you know, I don't quite remember what his, but he didn't see that there was a connection. But I think there is.
You know, a lot of people have written about that. They didn't see cancer till vaccines became, you know, widespread. But getting back to the 1997 moratorium, because I remember that I was, you know, with you working here and there in the clinic during your campaign against vaccination. That moratorium has not been lifted.
No, it hasn't. Now, okay. just to put to give the historical context,
please.
I issued a moratorium, and my understanding is a moratorium is sort of like a temporary measure.
Right.
The idea was we would have a moratorium on vaccines until such time as we could convene a conference of experts. So I contacted the National Medical Association, the CDC, the AMA, and other official medical bodies around the country, and we were going to convene a vaccine conference in Chicago in that summer.
Right, right.
And then for one reason or another, that conference actually never materialized. And so we never had that convening. Because at that time, I was aware of the contamination issue, but I didn't know how far it went. And I was sort of sitting on the fence. You see, I didn't want to be rash or premature in my judgment.
Right, right.
But that conference never took place to fully air the issue so that we could then develop a definitive policy.
Right.
But now, I guess the moratorium has become policy. And I would say that everything that I've learned since then convinces me even more the rightness of that moratorium against vaccines.
Yes, sir. Well, you were divinely guided. And I'm glad you said that, because even today, you know, among the believing community of the Nation of Islam, of course, we serve our people, which is a larger group, but just dealing with among us. You know, you still have some who are not really aware,
yes,
of the dangers of vaccines. And particularly now in this day and time with all of the genetic engineering, the secrecy, the money involved, and maybe other diabolical aims, it even makes that moratorium even more, you know, right,
yes,
for us to follow today.
Yeah, now at that time, just let me maybe just to complete the story. One of the people that I consulted was Dr. John Martin. And Dr. Martin had been in charge of vaccine safety for the FDA. I mean, he was the chief of vaccine safety. So here's a guy, he's a PhD, MD, you know, and what he found out as the head of vaccine safety is he didn't have any teeth.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have any administrative force and power. He could not even compel the pharmaceutical companies who were making these vaccines to tell him what was in the vaccine.
Ain't that so?
They had it written such that that kind of information was considered proprietary information, that the pharmaceutical companies only had to divulge voluntarily, if at all.
Right.
And so every year he would send out these long report forms, and they would come back almost blank because they didn't have to fill in anything.
And that still is in effect today.
Yeah. So basically, he was in a position of having to take their word that there was no contamination in the vaccines. Then he told me the reason why he quit. He said because even with all of that lax regulation, occasionally they would discover a batch of vaccines that were contaminated. Mm. And he said, now what do you think we would do with it? I said, I would hope that you would destroy it. He said, oh no. He said, there's too much money involved. Mm. So all we could do was return that batch to the pharmaceutical company. They would change the labels and send it overseas because there was no law against sending contaminated vaccines overseas, usually to poor countries in Africa and other parts of the world.
Wow. I mean, this sheds, even a great light. The fact that you talked to the guy who was supposed to be in charge of safety, you know, but how can you do your duty if nobody's even telling you what's,
yeah,
in it?
Now, he has a website. I don't know if it's still, I haven't visited in a long time, but if anybody cares to check it out, it's called stealthviruses.com.
Stealthviruses.com.
Because he started a whole line of research. And I asked him, what do you mean stealth viruses? Well, he said, well, how do you detect viruses? Mm. You know, they're stealthy. Right. And if you don't already know that it exists, how would you detect it? So if somebody comes up with a novel virus or one, right, just develops in nature, how would you even know? Mm. So So he had a website that was developed for the purpose.
Good evening again, everyone. I have the great pleasure to tell you the most wonderful thing that could ever have happened in the last year, namely that the narrative has come to an end and the whole vaccination narrative no longer exists. Now, you may ask me, how can you come up and say this? Why do we have a 10-hour symposium on something that has ended? So let me tell you something. What have you been told to believe? You have been told to believe that this killer virus, SARS-CoV-2, is new to your immune system, and therefore, being a dread killer virus, once it gets into your body, the immune system will not have enough time to respond and save your lives by making antibodies, by mobilizing killer lymphocytes, all right? That's why the whole world is to be vaccinated, including children, pregnant women, people who are not at risk of dying at all, have to be vaccinated. That is the narrative. Now, if this narrative were true, could it be tested? Question. And the answer is yes. Was it tested? Answer, not until about 3 months ago. So, I'm telling you that the test has been performed and the narrative has fallen through the test. It has failed the test. Why do I say this? Look, this is your immune system. Your immune system, if it sees a new virus, it takes some time to make the antibodies against these viruses. So the antibodies will be made and the antibodies will be detectable in your blood. Now, if it is the first encounter, what happens is that the immune system needs a bit of time to make these antibodies. 3 to 4 weeks. So long time at first encounter, and the antibodies are called immunoglobulins. Immunoglobulins, and they have a name M called IgM. All right. Now this is sort of first year immunology, first hour of immunology for all medical students. So actually all our medics should know this. If the immune system has seen this virus once, then it has a memory. And if the virus comes by again, the immune system will make antibodies again, but they will be recall antibodies and they will be fast. And they are called IgG and IgA. So here is the time table. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. The virus comes in. The new virus, you take 3 to 4 weeks, and out comes IgM into your blood. The virus comes back again next year. Recall antibodies are made. Very fast, within 1 week, you have IgG and IgA in your blood. Right? Very simple. And that's why, by the way, because this coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, is supposedly new, after you get the first vaccination, you wait 3 to 4 to 5 weeks and then get your second vaccination because you want to give the immune system time to learn how to make the right antibodies, right? Now, once the antibodies have been made, they can fulfill different functions, but there are two basic functions that antibodies fulfill, one against the viruses and two against bacteria. And the functions are very different, all right? Because antibodies directed against viruses, this is the coronavirus, by the way. These are the antibodies, these Y-shaped structures. Antibodies can perhaps bind to the spike proteins And the spike proteins are required for the virus to bind to the cell. If the antibodies succeed in binding to the spike antibodies, then the virus will not be able to enter the cell. That is supposedly the mechanism of protection that you are going to enjoy if you get vaccinated and you have antibodies against the coronavirus. However, one has to realize that with a respiratory virus, these viruses are coming in through the airway, and these antibodies are actually sitting in the blood, so they are on the wrong side of the wall in the first place. However, let us say there are some antibodies, you know, lining the surface of the cells of your lungs. There may be, but they will not be very efficient because there will not be very many of them. Most of them are going to be in the blood. So viruses will escape being captured by the antibodies. This is inevitable. It will enter the lung airway epithelium cell. The cell will start to make the virus. And as Michael Palmer showed you, once a cell starts to make a virus protein, bits and pieces of the virus protein are going to appear on the surface of the cell, presented to the immune system, and the immune system has killer lymphocytes ready, waiting in the lymph nodes, in the lymphoid organs that will be mobilized and go out, meet this infected, recognize the infected lung cell, and kill it. So killer lymphocytes are actually there to kill our own cells if these cells dare to make viruses. Very simple. Now, if an antibody is directed against a bacterium, then this antibody will bind to the bacterium. And now something happens that no one has ever talked about. Because if an antibody is bound to the bacterium doesn't really care. Bacteria are much bigger than viruses, and these antibodies are just tiny. They can't do anything to the bacterium. So what they do is they call to another arm of the immune system, which is called complement. Now, complement complements the action of antibodies. That's why it's called complement. What does complement do? Complement is the second cascade system in your blood. The first is the clotting system. So when the blood clots, when that system is turned on, your blood clots. If the complement system is turned on, what it does, it gets out a machine gun and fires holes at this bacterium. It destroys it. In fact, this is the cause of, you know, if you have the wrong blood transfused to you, your group A, and you get blood group B, you will have antibodies against red blood cells that carry group B, and the complement system will destroy these cells. That's why blood transfusions have to be matched. Otherwise, you will die, because the complement system is going to riddle those foreign cells with their bullets. So how does this, you know, come into the corona story? Well, recall, if you give the immune system a challenge, and this time let us say it's not the virus, it's a vaccine, because the vaccine also goes into the cell, and the vaccine causes the immune system to respond. The only thing one has to do is give the vaccine, give the shot, and then see how many days does it take for which antibody to come. Wonderfully enough, about 8 weeks ago, a string of papers by different groups, independent groups of researchers in America appeared, and they had done precisely that. They had taken vaccinees who had gotten the jab, and then they drew blood from these people every day, just a little bit of blood, to see, do I see IgM coming? So they drew. But already on day 5 to 7, most of these vaccinees suddenly had a rise in antibodies, but they were all IgG. Classic recall antibodies. So this was the scientific proof that the virus was not new to the immune system. How could this be? How could the experts all over the world, the scientists, say this is a completely new virus, while the immune system says, guys, don't let these guys lie to you. They are lying. We, the immune system, your immune system is telling you, we know this virus. Now, how can this be? You see, let us say this is the spike protein that is supposed to grasp the handle of the door and open it. Now, in this case, these antibodies are not going to be wise. Let's say this is the jaw of a crocodile. This is the spike coming to close in on the door handle. The antibodies can enter the mouth of the door of the crocodile and prevent the jaw from clamping. Now, obviously, this is not a perfect fit, like a door key and, all right, fitting into the keyhole. So there may be small changes in the fingers here, but the overall shape of this spike is similar from coronavirus to coronavirus. So similar that the immune system can still fit the antibody into the jaw. That's a simple mechanism of cross-immunity, all right? And this causes cross-protection, obviously. Now, you may ask me, why then could the experts, the WHO, the CDC say this is a brand new virus that is causing a pandemic? Because they were basing all these statements on what is known about the real flu virus, influenza, flu. Now, the flu virus is different from the coronavirus because flu viruses can change their whole hands, the whole shape. If you're unlucky, the virus will go into your body with this spike, sort of, and come out with something that looks like this, so that these antibodies will not fit. This is this big change in antigen of the spike that happens with flu and which has caused the flu pandemics in the past, but can never happen with coronaviruses because coronaviruses cannot change their whole hands. They can only change bits and pieces, sort of fingers. And they do this all the time and it does not matter. It doesn't matter. This means that whatever variant is going to come, just forget it. Your immune system will recognize the next variant as well. It can't fail to do so. All right. That is why we now know we all have recall memories, recall antibodies. And the second piece of really wonderful news is, okay, does this really work in real life? And here I have to tell you that there has been a beautiful, excellent, and most important paper, article, published by a Danish group who showed that what they did was they asked themselves, if someone gets infected with the real coronavirus now, okay, do they make recall antibodies? And so they had 203 patients who were grouped into three groups. One had rather severe disease, one had light or moderate disease, and one group of 60 to 70 individuals, they weren't even patients because they didn't even go to the hospital, all right? They just stayed at home. They were healthy. They had hardly any symptoms at all or had no symptoms. To all three groups, and asked which antibodies were made after the infection. And lo and behold, 202 of these 203 individuals made IgG and IgA antibodies very quickly after the infection. So the recall mechanism works in real life. And this means a lot because, you know, the coronaviruses enter your nose and throat and they always stay there for days where they multiply in the epithelial cells, the cells of your nose and throat. There's no other way they can ever get to the lung. They have to multiply. And when large numbers of the viruses are in the nose and throat, they may once in a while get to the lung. And that's why you can get really ill. All right. But what the Danish study has showed us, and this is so beautiful, is that the moment the virus gets into your nose and throat, even if you have no symptoms, you are going to make antibodies, recall antibodies. And also, most wonderfully, the Danes showed that these antibodies were protected. They could protect in experiments, in cell culture, they could prevent the virus from entering a cell. They were exactly the antibodies that Pfizer and Moderna are telling you you have to make so that you are protected against the virus when it reaches the lung. This is the end of the narrative. Everyone is going to make these antibodies, and everyone will have not only the antibodies, but the Danish showed furthermore, the killer lymphocytes were also mobilized out of the treasure trove of the immune system. Because, you know, your immune system is not so stupid. If the immune system does not, if the antibodies are not needed, if the killer lymphocytes are not needed, they just are put in the treasure trove and you don't see them. They're only called to arms when the adversary is really there. So don't go around trying to measure your antibodies. Most of you won't have them. You will only have them if you get infected. But if you get infected, you will have them. This is the great news, isn't it? Same with the killer lymphocytes. The immune system doesn't splurge, doesn't kill it. It's like having money on the bank. The bank puts it in a safe, all right? And the immune system doesn't go around with its bags full of killer lymphocytes and antibodies that it doesn't need. All right. So that is actually something that I really wanted to tell you today. I don't know whether we have time to go on to the dark side of the matter. Michael, how are we looking for time?
We are okay.
If we are okay, this is a vessel. These are the cells of the vessel wall. They have been bombarded with the mRNA. They have taken it up. And what happens then is that the spike protein is made and protrudes into the blood. If killer lymphocytes patrol by, they will attack these cells. This is what we said 6 months ago. And we said we were horribly worried because this would cause the wall of the tapestry to be scraped, and this would probably lead to formation of blood clots here, because whenever your vessel wall is damaged, clots form. Now, where they form and how much is formed will vary from individual to individual. If you are in luck, you'll just be in some small vessels in the skin, but if this goes on, you know, in a deep vessel of the vein, leg vein, you can have a pulmonary embolism. If it happens in the brain, you can have this terrible sinus thrombosis with all the horrible symptoms that we are seeing every day, people who are getting these shots. Now, the terrible thing is this. If you have the first shot, these spike proteins are going to protrude out into the bloodstream and they will meet the killer lymphocytes. But in the first 5 to 7 days, there will still not be any antibodies. However, after that, when the antibodies come, these antibodies are going to bind to these spikes and complement is going to be activated, and complement is going to riddle this vessel wall with its bullets. It is known, by the way, and this has also been published, that if the vaccination is repeated, this is the second shot, the IgG immediately rises further. All right, and I think you will remember that Michael showed you that this mRNA circulates for many days. So what happens then after the session? I'm trying to give you a piece of advice, everyone. If you had a first shot and got away with it, thank God, thank the Lord, but don't take the second shot. Because when you take the second shot, you are going to be asking for big trouble. Why? Because now, out come the spikes. Now the antibodies are there, as we know. Then the complement system has no other way. It has no choice. It has no brain. It's going to riddle this vessel with holes. And this vessel is going to leak, all right? Now, this is a leak. And if the mRNA is still in the blood circuit here, and it is, then it's going to leak out. Maybe this is the liver. So a liver cell would take this up, all right? Very bad clot. Or the pancreas, or the heart, or the brain. These are terrible, terrible thoughts. Because when these cells start to make the spikes, the killer lymphocytes, these are the only cells, by the way, that regularly leave the bloodstream. They have special doors here. Go out, and they're patrolling your organs all the time. And if a liver cell dares to make the spike protein, you can bet your life that it's going to be attacked and killed. If a cell in your brain does it, you can bet your life that it's not going to be a nice thing happening to you. And if this happens in the placenta, in the ovary, or whatever, no. You know, this is the most horrible vision that anyone who has read, taught, and researched immunology could ever think of. It's a nightmare. It is a nightmare. It cannot be allowed to happen. By the way, I hear that many people tell me that after the second shot is the one that, and the third shot will be even worse. So, if this symposium helps you to come to a decision, it would have been worth the effort. Because what you cannot do this to your children. You cannot do this to your loved ones, beloved ones. You may be killing them. Because this is the essence of autoimmune disease. All right? Clots will form. The vessels will leak in all organs. My God. In the lymph nodes, by the way, if you are told, oh, my lymph node, that arm is swollen, even 3 weeks, 6 weeks after the vaccination. Listen, in the lymph nodes, you will have the killer lymphocytes and other cells, X. If a cell X makes these spike proteins, this lymphocyte is going to attack its brother or sister. This is paternal war, all right? If a killer lymphocyte itself dares to make the spike, another killer lymphocyte is going to attack it. And if you take the second shot, then the antibodies will also be there because the antibodies are also in the lymph nodes. They are made in the lymph nodes. And what people don't know is complement is not only in the blood. Complement is in the lymph nodes. So there's going to be a huge battle in these poor lymph nodes. You know, when I think of all of this, I just get so goddamn worried. Yeah. I'm worried. I'm worried that now, my last plea to everyone. If there's a grain of truth in what I've been saying, and, you know, up to now, we haven't made any big mistakes in what we've been saying, then it is past midnight. People have to get together, sit down and talk about things. The pro-vax and the anti-vax.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. We would like to begin our program from this evening by opening with prayer. So we can take a position of prayer. I will receive sanctuary prayer aloud and ask you to repeat the prayer silently to yourself. Attention prayer. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from the accursed of Satan. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment in which we now live. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Thee do we serve, and thee do we beseech for help. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us on the right path. Siratal ladina anamta alayhim. The path of those upon whom thou hast bestowed favor. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Not the path of those upon whom thine wrath is brought down. Wallahi, know of those who go astray. Ameen. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings. This is the Your Immunity Project, the Zoom conference call powered by Calphony Radio. We do this every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you did not make a mistake. You are in the right place. This is where we do the updates on COVID-19, the mandates, and all the rest of it. And tonight, we're going to broaden the scope of what we talk about because there's so much going on in the world, and all of it is interconnected. So stay tuned. You're in the right place. This is the Your Immunity Project. This is where we do it right. Some people call it the Hour of Truth, because it is the truth that shall set you free, nothing else. Just understanding that you've been lied to is not enough. You have to know the positive truth to establish the kingdom of God and to survive a global holocaust that is taking place. So welcome, welcome, welcome one and all to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. Now, we always operate according to five basic principles. We go over those every single time because there's always somebody new that poked their head in the first time. They don't know what this is. They don't know what we're talking about. Somebody told them something about something. And so I want you to understand that we always operate according to five basic principles, and you need to keep these five basic principles in the back and in the front of your mind, because they are all important. Now, the most important and the first one is prevention, of course. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and he's right. As a doctor, I know prevention is way better than cure, way better than surgery, way better than all the things that you have to drastically resort to once something has occurred. And so prevention is number one. And then you have to be very clear. What is it that you are trying to prevent? Because there are many weapons that are ranged against the righteous today. It's not just a virus. It's not just the spike protein. It's not just chemtrails. It's not just poison information, misinformation, disinformation. There's many weapons ranged against us, and we need to be aware of all of them. In the military, they call it situational awareness, so that we can be on guard against all of them. Because it only takes one of them to do you in. If the left hand don't get you, maybe the right one will. So prevention is paramount. And so we have to be very clear what the threats are and what we need to do to guard ourselves against those threats. The second principle, of course, is diagnosis. Because once someone becomes ill or has symptoms, they want to know, what's wrong with me? What do I need to do? Will I get better? You know, what's up? You see, so diagnosis is paramount. And the diagnosis guides the third principle, which is treatment. Your treatment can't be any better than your diagnosis. And so this is where we run into a lot of trouble because we see a lot of failed cases where people came down with COVID symptoms or symptoms of other illnesses, and then they got treated, they got vaccinated, but they didn't get better. In fact, as we'll see as we go through the headlines, many people got worse as a result of getting the injection. You see, so diagnosis is key. And without a diagnosis, then treatment is just a guessing game, or it is a game of pure deception. And I think it's the latter rather than the former. So just to be very clear about it, in case you weren't tuned in the past, we've been saying for more than a year and a half that the PCR test was never designed by its inventor to diagnose any illness. So the hundreds of millions of people, probably billions of people, who were diagnosed with COVID-19 with a PCR test, they were sold a bill of goods. Same thing with the rapid antigen test that the government even sends to you, made in China, but they send it to your house in America. Bogus, according to the Paul Ehrlich Institute, a 92% error rate in those rapid antigen tests. And so where is the diagnosis of COVID-19? Where's the diagnosis of monkeypox all of a sudden? None of the tests have been valid. And therefore, all of the treatments have to be called into question. So now, if there really is a virus, we know what to do. That's the third principle, treatment. We know what to do. We give Paxlovid. It works every time on every virus. I don't know if monkeypox is real. People ask me all the time, what's the latest variant? I don't know. I don't care, because whatever it is, this will handle it if it's a virus. If it's a viral-related illness, this will handle it. This is called Paxlovid. Now, somebody sent me an interview I did on ABC 30 years ago, just about 30 years ago, where we were introducing Kemron and Immunex, which were, you know, first generations of what this is. And so this is a dietary supplement. It's not a drug. It's a dietary supplement. And what does it do? It specifically feeds the human immune system. So once you feed the immune cells that make up your immune system, they can handle any virus. They can handle it once you give them what they need. And this is what they need. So this is the best treatment for any viral illness or any virally related illness, like many cancers, leukemias, and things like that. Multiple myeloma. These are things that are caused by viruses, some heart diseases, lung diseases, even brain disease, even mental illnesses sometimes are associated with viruses. So we get many amazing, unexpected results when people use the Paxlovid, even though they used it because they thought they had COVID-19. So now the fourth principle after treatment, of course, is the research. Research. You must do research to discover new knowledge, because there are problems out there that you do not have the answer to yet. And then, of course, there's misinformation that's out there that has to be cleared up. Otherwise, the people will be confused. So we do our own research at the Your Immunity Project. You can volunteer to be a part of it. We're closing out trying to get the first phase of our clinical trial completed and published, and then begin a second phase, and some of you are already signed up. You can go to yourimmunityproject.org, and you can leave your name there to enroll in the second phase of the Your Immunity Project clinical trial. Also, and we should probably, I think, hear from our research team on this call later, they'll tell us about the COVID-19 passport that'll come up on your phone so that you won't have any travel hassles as you go about your business. So the fourth principle is research, and we do our own. And then we also report out the research that's relevant that other people have done elsewhere. And that's what the fifth principle is all about. That's education. That's education. That's what's taking place right now. We're on the fifth principle right now. This is all about education, information. Information is power, they say. Well, according to physics, power is the ability to do work. So what is the work that the Your Immunity Project is all about? Well, the name gives it away, doesn't it? The project is to ensure your immunity so that you can survive. look at it this way. A friend of mine put it this way. He said, your immunity is your right to life guaranteed. Yeah, think about that. Your immunity, your immune system, your immune competence is your God-given right to life guaranteed. There's going to be opposition to your life, to your survival. It wouldn't be real. We wouldn't be in a real world if there wasn't opposition, enemies, to your life, to your survival. But the God who gave us life equipped us with the ability to resist that interference. And by the way, the name of the medication, Paxlovid, it contains something that sounds like interference. It's called interferon. And then interferons, it interferes with viruses that are trying to do harm in the body. So we do our own research, and then we report that research out on the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. Now, we're powered on California Radio, and we had to do that. We had to get our own space, a space that we could call our own in cyberspace, because some of the topics that we deal with are considered to be controversial because it's counter to the official narrative. And the official narrative always seems to lead people in the wrong direction and into confusion. And so we have a whole lot of straightening out to do. And sometimes that gets you kicked off Twitter. They kick me off Twitter. They kick me out of Instagram. Sometimes they give us problems on Facebook, you know, because they're trying to censor the truth. You have freedom of speech, but you have to fight to exercise it. And so we set up CalFoniaRadio.org as an independent free speech platform where we can tell the truth. So we're on the Zoom conference call. We're on Facebook. But we predominantly prefer people to migrate to California Radio because all of the other ones are likely to be attacked. And who knows, one of these days we may disappear from Facebook, just like I disappeared from Twitter. I disappeared from Instagram. I published the 20 mechanisms of injury of the spike protein, and I was gone within 5 seconds. Oh, they move fast in the metaverse when they want to. So I am no longer a resident of the metaverse, but you can find me on Telegram. I have a Telegram group, and you can join that group. I think you have to request to join. I'm not sure how all these things work. Dr. Arlene on Telegram, and then you can keep up to date. Many of the headlines that we go over on the call, I publish the full articles on Telegram, on my Telegram group, Dr. Arlene. Also, the Paxlovid is available from my website, drarlene.com, and you can buy it by the single bottle or by the case. Welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, powered by CalFoniaRadio Radio. Tomorrow night on CalFoniaRadio Radio, we're going to be doing the 19th element. Some of the headlines that we just touch on lightly during the Your Immunity Project call, we go in depth on the 19th element. And there's a whole lot to go into. So tonight and tomorrow night are going to be power-packed informational events. So tune in tonight. You're already here. Invite some more people to join in before we close. And we'll see you tomorrow night on the 19th element at 9 p.m. CalFoniaRadio Radio. Hey, and guess what? On Sunday, Fire's Your Prayer Line. That's 7 a.m. That's when I come. They bring me on. They'll be on before then. But Fire's Your Prayer Line this Sunday, the 19th of June, 7 a.m. So, Sister Najma, who do we have on the line? Let's move to our reports. And I may have to step away because it's my mother's dinner time, and I may have to step away. So if you see me step away, that's all. I'm just taking care of my mom.
Yes, sir. We have Brother Reuben and Brother Dawood.
Let's hear from Brother Reuben first because he's so far away. I think he's 15 time zones away from us. He's already into Wednesday, and he's down there in Australia, and I'm getting some strange reports out of Australia. What's happening down there, Brother Reuben?
Well, assalamu alaikum and greetings to all of the listeners today. How are you?
Fine. And all praise is due to Allah. Well, here in Australia, it's much the same. We're in a very cold winter, and in the mix of all of that, people are getting sick. Adults, healthy adults in the 30s to, well, mid-20s all the way to 40s, those who are working back at work and working hard every day. Many famous ones are literally dropping dead, and they're trying to figure out why that is. And we have a good idea what's happening because most of them already have three jabs and they're pushing for a fourth jab here in Australia. Two days ago, on Monday, was the deadline. It's Wednesday here in Australia, but on Monday was a deadline for health workers. Those who had not had their third shot, they were basically going to be made redundant. They were going to lose their jobs. So it was a big thing within the health industry. On a state level, what they did with the government-owned hospitals, so not the private hospitals, but the government-owned hospitals, they decided to finally thank and honor the nurses and the doctors who had worked hard through the pandemic and all of those other things. Those who were still working, that is, not those who got sacked, but those who were still working, they got a $3,000 bonus. And naturally, all the other healthcare workers said, wait a minute, what about me? I work for the private health industry, but when it was an emergency, we all had to, you know, we got moved around. They had no choice. It doesn't matter. You work for this clinic. You were able to be drafted straight into the government hospitals because they needed all hands on deck, as they said. So many of those who are thousands upon thousands said, hey, we're missing out on the bonus because we don't work for the government, but we did our part. We worked 20 hours a day with suffering and all kinds of things, and we've taken three jabs. We're still working. We're going to get a fourth one now. And they were told, go talk to your private boss. We're not going to pay you $3,000. So that was a huge blow to many healthcare workers. And many who are now saying, well, what am I doing all of this for? Many of them as well. We are still in a code. It keeps changing every 2 days from a code red to a code brown in the hospitals. Basically, the hospital, there's too many sick people in there. They've stopped giving the counts. You've got to go on Twitter. So anyone can go on Twitter and look at the health department information here in Australia. But they did stop giving the midday or early afternoon brief on television because the news basically is like this. We're 96-97% triple jabbed now. The children are up to almost 50%. This is the 5 to 12-year-olds and the 12 all the way up to the elderly. They're, you know, 96-97% jabbed. However, they're all in hospital. They're sick. This week alone, while we're in a code red in the hospitals and you have to line up outside in the rain for any emergency, they're full, is simply because we're missing 2,000 health workers. They removed the thing where they had where if someone got sick and you were in close contact, you were allowed to stay home for a week. They took all that away months ago. So only if you were sick, you were allowed to stay home. It doesn't matter who else you were around. Well, 2,000 nurses and medical practitioners are not available this week. Every single day, they're missing simply because they're too sick to come to work. So many who are now have to go for the fourth jab are asking the question, and they're coming on television, voicing their opinions now because the elections are over and they've got to talk about something else now. And they're asking the question, I've taken three jabs. I've been sick 2, 3, 4, multiple times, some of them. They're telling me to take a fourth one. What for? Because they're all getting sick. So the news is not getting any better here. We have we're in very cold winter. We're getting what they call the Arctic blast. We're close to Antarctica, but I don't know why they call it the Arctic blast anyway. That's on the North Pole. But anyway, that's where we are now. You mentioned something very key, Dr. Aleem, about how everything is all connected. Here in Australia, because of not having enough people to pick fruits and all of those other things and vegetables, we saw that the rise in meat, beef and chicken and other meats and fish, all the way around Christmas time, the prices started to go up. Well, now the vegetable prices have gone up. We're talking about things such as simple things. If you want a salad, you want an iceberg lettuce, they're around the $10, $11 if you can get one. Yeah, oh. Each. That's just one.
That's not a whole case. That's just one.
That's just one. Yes, sir. So anyway, and then you can go on Twitter or go on, you know, on any of the social media. People are just amazed at how high the prices have gone. If you're talking garlic, if you want fresh garlic, not the one in a jar, it's my local place here is $50 a kilo. So that's $25 a pound. It's ridiculous, you know. So you're going to have to get the one in a jar and, you know, hope it's a good one and all of those things. The packaging in food, whether it's bread and say even simple things that you want to buy a chocolate bar, they're usually in a 250-gram, because we're metric here in Australia, packet. So what they've done, instead of increasing the prices, they've dropped the size of the what you're buying. So now you're they're down to about 20 to 30% less. So 170 grams is your standard bar of chocolate now. So, you know, so that way you don't feel the pinch. You know, $6, but, you know, I'm still paying $6, but I'm getting 30% less. And the reality is this, that we all have to get ready for. And if we had not been paying attention for the last 12 or 18 months, is that the key driver of this, I know they want to try and blame Putin and everything else and, you know, the war and all of that, but the key driver is really something very simple that anyone can look up. The U.S. government tried to print its way out of this whole pandemic and everything else. And the reality, and anyone can check this is not any secret information. You can go online and Google your Treasury Department and see. Basically, about 40% of all U.S. dollars and currency has been printed just in the last 12 or 14 months. So think of it this way. Your stimulus money, you didn't drop out of heaven. Somebody went and put a few zeros in a computer and sent it to you. All of this money. So America is almost, I think it's 200 and, I forget the exact number. It's over 200 years old, probably 255 if my math is correct.
Yes.
Just the last year. Yeah, just the last year is when they printed all of this money. Well, that money came out of thin air. It's not backed by anything. So naturally, the true inflation is not what they're telling you. And if you look at the inflation numbers, anyone can go to the Bureau of Statistics website and see that what they're conveniently doing is ignoring the reality of food prices, energy. So if you use electricity, if you use gasoline and other things, these are being omitted from the actual calculations. They have a sneaky way of, or technology, as we know it, of calculating things. So when things are looking too bad, they say, well, look, don't count this, don't count energy, don't count food. And the numbers are 7 or 8% inflation. Well, the true number is really around 30%. And the simple equation is just that. All the money got printed and they didn't do anything new. They didn't manufacture anything new. So naturally, prices of things are going to go up because the dollar is worth less. And they did make every nation on earth trade with a U.S. dollar for international trading. So everything that comes from China or wherever you buy it in this world, that is the reserve currency, the U.S. dollar. So until that begins to change, and some countries are trying to change that, like Russia and India and China and others, until that changes, we will continue to see the value of the dollar drop and prices and things go up. And here in Australia, of course, they're all saying, can we get some more money in our paycheck? But of course, the employers are saying, hell no, because we've got no more money to give you. So that's where we are here in Australia. We expect things to get even worse because we've had some really bad weather. I haven't even looked at where it flooded yesterday or the day before. We're having some other strange incidents with low-flying aircraft. And I think you mentioned something about this. I haven't been able to get an actual visual confirmation myself, but they seem to be spraying things up in the sky. And here in where I am, it happens in the middle of the night. You hear helicopters and low-flying planes. So I intend to go out one of these days at 2 or 3 in the morning when they come flying over my house to put my torch up and see what's going on, because we do have restrictions on flying here in Australia, and generally by midnight all the planes have stopped coming in. All of a sudden, the last week or two, there's planes every single day flying overhead. So perhaps it's part of their spraying program. We don't know. That's what some people are saying, but I haven't been able to confirm that myself. So I'll see if I can get an actual confirmation on what kind of spraying they're doing over our heads here in Australia, because things are getting worse health-wise, and no one seems to really have any idea why, because it's not just the so-called vaccine. We think there's a few other things going on above our heads right now. So thank you, Dr. Lim, and I'll be available for any questions. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, well, we always like to hear from Brother Ruben down there in Australia. Not only are they in a different time zone, but they're in a different season. So down where he is, they're getting going into winter. And so you can get a look ahead. We're just going into our summer, having a heat wave here. They're having a cold wave there. And you can see an increase in the death rate as they go into their winter. Loss of healthcare workers, loss of healthcare services, in other words. And a population that's over 90% vaccinated, and young people dying like flies. Spraying at night, we reported on the Your Immunity Project way back when that the Chinese reported that in December of 2019, there were unknown foreign drones spraying some unknown substance over their farmland, especially their pig farms. And would you know it, right after that, there was a major outbreak of swine flu that decimated the Chinese swine herd. And of course, pork is probably the number one protein source for people living in China. Then of course, the avian bird flu struck after that in China, again associated with mysterious drones flying over farmland. The same thing was reported in Colorado about a year and a half ago. Mysterious unknown drones flying over Colorado, New Mexico, out there in the Four Corners area of the American West. And then wouldn't you know it, soon after that, then you had outbreaks of avian bird flu and the meatpacking plants were shut down. And people suspected that the livestock was actually inoculated with the very same mRNA technology that's in the so-called vaccine shot. And many people who haven't been vaccinated, but yet they consume fast food and, you know, meat from these processing plants, they report symptoms that are very similar to the symptoms that are associated with the injection. So we always like to hear from Australia because that gives us a look ahead. And to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Now, we're going to, one of the headlines, I'll just jump ahead a little bit here. One of the headlines from Spain is the Spanish government admits that they are spraying, let me read this. The Spanish government admits to spraying chemtrails on citizens at the behest of the United Nations as a part of some kind of COVID-19 effort. So maybe you can look and see what they're doing in Spain, because probably what they're doing in Australia is the same thing that they're doing in Spain. And it's the same thing that when you look over your head in America or in Europe, you see the same spraying campaign. And I want to know, with these sky-high fuel prices, who's paying for the fuel to keep these planes in the sky? You see, that's a lot of money being expended. And not to mention, what are the contents of these so-called chemtrails? And then final thing, Brother Ruben pointed out that the economic statistics that the governments like to report are skewed. They're not true statistics. Now, there's a website that I heard about. I'm not really all that familiar with it. But it's called Shadow Stats, shadowstats.com, I think, Shadow Stats. And this is independent researchers that do independent research to give you the true inflation rates and other economic indicators. So Shadow Stats might be a source of good information. So thank you, Brother Ruben.
So if we can hear from our research team, Brother Dawood is on the line, and we'd like to hear from him.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. I'm so glad to hear from you and also the report coming in from Brother Ruben. So a few things with the Your Immunity Project. There are a few things that we've made as far as changes to move forward with the clinical trial pass. That's the portion that we're finishing and finalizing at this point. And really the pass is complete. We'll showcase it a little bit here today. I will let you know that we went through and rebuilt the entire YourImmunityProject.org website, and that had to be done because we had to change or add an approval process into the protocol so that when an individual visits YourImmunityProject.org to sign up, they go through the normal set of steps to approve the consents, consent to participate, but we had to add three or four more steps to allow the individual fields to enter the type of ID they may associate with their clinical trial pass, whether it's a passport, driver's license, or social security number. So that it also appears on the clinical trial pass. So those fields were added in, but also we had to add in a layer so that the admin would get the message that that's been completed and then could make the decision if it's done properly for approval or rejection. And once approved, then they would receive the email that confirms all the steps they took, as well as displays the clinical trial pass with their name, the portion of the ID number that would be displayed that they could start to utilize. So in the sake of time, we did go ahead through the admin's approval and with the confirmation of consent form and documents, and we completed a group of the clinical trial passes that met all the criteria for some urgent travel that needed to take place here soon. So those are done. So Sister Najma, if I can do a screen share, I'll show an example of what the finished clinical trial pass looks like that everyone else will be able to utilize as soon as we officially turn the site on, which I hope we could do that this week. Dr. Nadia suggests that we take a little time this week when you have some availability, Dr. Aline, so we can tweak a letter that should be included.
We can do that anytime this week. I have plenty of time this week.
Okay, yes, sir. Perfect. Perfect. Okay, I'll screen share quickly from the phone here. Okay, so you should be able to see my screen.
Yeah.
Can you see?
Yes.
Okay, so this is what the clinical trial pass looks like. International Certificate of Clinical Trial has a similar look to some of the other COVID-19 passports. The important section, of course, is here. It shows that that your participation is active in the trial when it's issued. We give it a two-year expiry date. There's a randomly generated alphanumeric code for each participant. And then, of course, your name and whatever information you put in for the type of...
Oh, somebody hit the mute button.
Sorry, a phone call was coming in. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. And then in the center is the QR code, and the QR code is unique because once this is scanned, it hyperlinks to the letter that we posted that right now contains the general information describing what this clinical trial is for, that it's physician-led, et cetera, and that you're an active participant. At the bottom of that letter, it also displays the information you see here. So now the letter associates back to the individual that's showing their ID and showing the clinical trial pass. Yeah, so that should really tie up everything that's needed requirement-wise. And, you know, if there's any real checkpoints that anyone will encounter, we should be good to go. No telling what's forthcoming now that monkeypox and hepatitis and everything else other than COVID is seeming to pop back up. So I'll stop there, brother. That's about it. And we can finish this up and turn it on so everyone can start to utilize.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah, that's
thank you, thank you.
See, that's so powerful because it liberates people, you know. Different states will have different mandates, different rules. Different countries will have different rules, you see. But this will get you through wherever you are, you know. So that's a very, very great, great, tremendous help to many, many people because people have literally been tied down for the last 2 years. Unable to really get around, and this will help, even though there may be other considerations to keep in mind. So thank you very much, Brother Dawood, and we will meet later this week, inshallah, and fine-tune everything so it's ready to go.
Okay, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. So Sister Najma, can you bring up our headlines? Well, do we have anybody else calling in from overseas? We always like to make sure. Okay, so let's begin with our headlines, and then we'll try to reserve as much time at the end for questions or testimonials as we can. Okay, someone's asking a question about chemtrails. When you see them as streaks in the sky, they're obvious. And you shouldn't be out under that. Now, those streaks coalesce to form a cloud layer. And that's a toxic cloud layer. And depending on the wind and other weather conditions, that could linger for quite some time, and you'll get kind of, in other words, a normal sky as created by God is blue, but when you go outside and you see a hazy white sky, you're looking at chemtrails, you're looking at a toxic cloud layer, and the contents of chemtrails, it can be any formula that they decide to use in any particular area. And that can range from heavy metals like barium and aluminum and mercury that's been reported for years and years and years, and even organic materials such as fungal spores, viruses, even red blood cells, soybean oil, all kinds of things have been detected in chemtrails over the years. So exactly what's in the chemtrail over your head, where you are on any given day, hey, you would have to ask the people who are flying the planes. What did they load into your tank today? And some of the pilots that fly these planes, they have come forth. And they are isolated. Their whole families are isolated. They're forbidden to speak. They're under a gag order. And many of them have mental issues because they know that they're doing something very evil and they have a guilty conscience. And there's a very high suicide rate among these chemtrail pilots and their families. And the only reason why they do it is because, you know, most of them are poorly paid military pilots, and they get an extra bonus if they fly the chemtrails. And so they volunteer to do it, and they're in a special unit isolated from the other families of other pilots. And it's very, very hard on their mental status because they know that what they're doing is against. It's against everything. So we're looking at a depiction of what happens when people inhale what's in a chemtrail. And in this case, you see an image of a virus and the spike protein. And, of course, that goes into the nasal cavity, into the mouth, into the lungs. And, of course, isn't that where all of the symptoms begin? And so I notice more and more people coughing, having trouble with breathing. And a lot of it could be due to the increased spraying of chemtrails. And as I mentioned earlier, the Spanish government has openly admitted that they are under orders from the United Nations to do this. So maybe we should ask the United Nations, the World Health Organization, why are you spraying the human population of planet Earth. So the next image, please. Can you blow that up? Yeah, the Swedish scientists find new rodent coronavirus strain, potential to migrate to humans. Again, you can find the complete article on my Telegram group. But again, you see, they're constantly involved in this kind of research. Now, Sweden and Finland, to show you how everything is all tied together, they have applied for membership in NATO. And as we can see, they're one of the things that NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, has been involved in for many years is bioweapons research in Europe, especially in Ukraine. See, so I wouldn't be surprised if, because they're reporting that they found a new rodent corona strain, who would be surprised if the next variant comes from what they found? Next image, please. Now, you can blow this up. This is just a microscopic image of what people are calling blood clots. People who get the injection, people who inhale the spike protein, they're inhaling a prion. The spike protein, which is in the injection, the spike protein, which was riding on the back of both HIV and COVID-19, the spike protein is what makes everybody sick. And one of the reasons it makes people sick is because it's a prion, which causes amyloid fibers. Now, these amyloid fibers look like blood clots, and blood does clot around the amyloid fibers. And so it does cause blood clotting, but the root cause of the blood clotting that causes all of the pathology from the vaccine shots, causing all of the excess deaths, is because the spike protein itself is a prion. And what is a prion? A prion is an infectious protein. So this is just a microscopic picture. If you had a high-powered microscope looking at what they're calling these blood clots that are killing people, this is what it would look like. Now, these amyloid deposits are also very similar to what is seen under the microscope with people who are suffering from dementia, like Alzheimer's disease. You also see these so-called amyloid plaques. Next image, please. Now, this is a model, a computer model of the spike protein. And you see the different regions of it, different colors. And this is just one looking at one side of it. But just to show you that it's made up of 19 different peptides. And those individual peptides that make it up are the same peptides that are found in snake venom. And this was a theory that was put forward by Dr. Artis, who showed that there are 7 of these peptides are patented and are a part of what makes up remdesivir. So the spike protein is a prion, an infectious protein that contains peptides that are synthetic versions of snake venom. So this is actually the enemy. Next image. Now, these are the chemtrails. We've already talked about them. So obviously, when you see it like this, you don't go outside. But these distinct trails are going to coalesce into a cloud layer, which is highly toxic. So unless the wind just blows it away and clears the sky so it's clear blue, you might still be in danger hours later. Now, also keep in mind that when you, some of you who are activists, you announce you're going to have a rally in such and such a place and such a time. Hey, they are there with the chemtrails right over your head.
Whoa.
See, to make sure that you get vaccinated whether you want to or not. So always keep your head up. A lot of reasons to do that. Next image, please. Now, we're going to be dealing with a lot of things. Your immunity is your right to life guaranteed. Well, one of the necessities of life, one of the necessities of strong immunity, of course, is food. People who don't have food, who are starving, who are poorly nourished, will automatically have a poor immune system. So what's going on in America, where 95 food plants have been blown up in the last month or so by fires that burn the food processing plants down to the ground? The fires can't be put out. So what is this? So, well, I think it's obvious that this is sabotage. This is war. Some enemy is destroying the food supply to the people in America. So 95 food plants are destroyed so far, and the mass media, for the most part, isn't reporting it. So now, which food plant supplied the food to where you live that got burned down? And how many more are going to burn down before somebody pays attention to the fact that there's no more food? So I'm going to step away for a minute. My mom needs her coffee. And so maybe, Sister Najma, maybe you can read the announcements. I'll be right back.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. All right. So for those who I put the call-in information for the Fajr prayer line for the 19th, and that's this coming Sunday, Dr. Aleem is going to be speaking. He's going to come on around 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but the call starts at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, prayer is given. And on the days that Dr. Aleem speaks, sometimes it's Mother Tynetta that's being played before he comes on, or other lectures, mostly Mother Tynetta. On the regular weekday, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is being played, and prayer starts at 5 o'clock, and then after that there is a lecture that's played by the minister, and inshallah Mother Tynetta will be playing before Dr. Lee comes on at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to order Paxamune, you can go to www.draleem.com. Doctor is spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R-A-L-I-M. If you have any questions in reference to orders, you can go to mail@draleem.com. And, of course, doctor is spelled out again. I will also post the link for the Telegram. So if you want to join Telegram, you can go ahead and download the app for Telegram. After you download the app, then you can click on the link and ask to join the group. And then Dr. Aleem will allow you to come into the group, and you'll be able to see all of the different articles that he posts weekly. Praise be to Allah.
Okay, so I'm back. Just trying to do two things at once. So yeah, food is the issue going forward. And you need to think about this. If the farmers are not planting, and they're not because they don't have fuel or they can't afford it, they can't get fertilizer. So the estimates are the planting will only be one-third of normal for 2022. So at best, the harvest is only going to be one-third of normal. But of course, without fertilizer and other necessities, maybe the harvest won't be all that good. So the forecast is for famine. And then even if there was a harvest, if the food processing plants have been destroyed, you see, and are being destroyed as we speak, you see, well, then where are you going to get your food from? See, that's the issue going forward. So this is not just about Paxamune and viruses and spike proteins. The issue is, where are you going to get your food from, say, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 18 months from now? Where is your food coming from? I would just say this as a caution to everyone, probably this summer, where we are right now, this might be the last chance you have to actually grow some of your own food. You probably will not get another chance to do it. So take your best shot at it right now, because in other words, we should be tired of saying that we need to start producing our own food. No, you're past the need to do it. Your back is actually up against the wall. Starvation is start staring you in the face. Starvation is about 6 months away for the majority of people in America. They will just not have any food available to them. And so you can do something about that right now. But 6 months from now, you won't be able to do anything about it. So a word to the wise. Next image, please. Yeah, this is Bill Gates. And of course, last year, you remember Bill Gates, he predicted smallpox. He said it was smallpox. And so he invested in a smallpox vaccine because he predicted that in 2022, the world would be shaken by an outbreak of smallpox. And wouldn't you know it, down to the day that it was predicted, there was an outbreak of monkeypox, which is actually just a version of smallpox. And so, in fact, they say that the vaccine for smallpox is the same one that you use for monkeypox. And guess who is the greatest investor in the monkeypox vaccine that has already been sold millions of doses to the U.S. government on schedule? Well, the infamous Bill Gates. I guess he represents the gates of hell. Next image, please. See, so people call it the monkeypox, but it's really the moneypox. It's the new gay men's disease. This is the same old scenario that they ran 30 years ago, where HIV was supposed to be the gay men's disease. Now it turns out that the 500 or so cases that exist throughout the world have all occurred in men, and all of the men are gay. And all of them attended a gay bash on the Canary Islands, of all places. And now they come down with monkeypox. But some people say that that's all just a cover story to cover up the side effects of what happens to people when they get the vaccine. Next image. Now, here's what we were talking about before. Now, the full article that this is based on is on my Telegram, in my Telegram group, Airborne Prion Diseases. Remember, the spike protein is a prion. And people who have received the injections are manufacturing the spike protein, which is a prion. And now it turns out that prions are airborne. See, this was questionable. The Pfizer document showed that the spike protein was self-spreading through skin contact and the exchange of body fluids and through inhalation. But that was hard to believe because how could you inhale a prion? And now the scientific research has been done to show, surprisingly, that prions are best spread by the airborne route. And in the experiment, you can read the details yourself on the Telegram group, but basically the summary shows that when they sprayed mice with prions, except at the very lowest dose, it was 100% lethal. 100% lethal. All of the mice died. And what they found out was that it only took one spray. One spray was enough to kill all of the mice. In other words, one spray into the cage where the mice were, one time. And within, I believe, the time frame was 200 days, every last mouse was dead. And so you can extrapolate to humans that if chemtrails contain prions and you inhale them and they are poisonous, you see, then you have just literally been killed. So these research studies are coming out now. See, we've alleged these things in the past. You've heard me say that. Don't be around people who got the injection because their cough, their sneeze could infect you, could contaminate you with the spike protein. And now here's the scientific proof. And it was shocking because the scientists, they thought that, well, there may be a low-level transmission rate, but what they found out, it was 100%. So word to the wise. Next image, please. So yeah, so this is the new moneymaker. How many billionaires were created with the COVID-19 vaccine? Okay, so now there's another line of billionaires, another line of people standing in line to become billionaires with the monkeypox vaccine, which is a smallpox vaccine. Now, keep in mind, it was a contaminated smallpox vaccine that caused the HIV epidemic in Africa. And this was admitted in 1987 by the World Health Organization. It was published on the front page of the London Sunday Times. Yeah, you heard me right. The World Health Organization admitted that they administered 300,000 contaminated smallpox vaccines in Central Africa, and that was the cause of the AIDS epidemic in Africa. Now, these same people want to administer a smallpox vaccine to you for something called monkeypox. Well, in reality, it's moneypox. There's some more billionaires to be made. Next image, please. And they won't blame it on a monkey. Now, here's Lloyd Austin. He's the Secretary of Defense. So now he testified, and he admitted that there are 46 U.S. military biolabs in Ukraine. 46. Now, when the Russians invaded Ukraine, they said they found 30. Now, he's admitting, we got 46. You only found 30. But we got 46. That's what he's saying. We got 46. You found 30. So now where's the other 16? You see, and what kind of bugs do they have in them? So now this is important for everybody to understand that the United States has 46 bioweapons laboratories in the Ukraine. What do they have them there for? What do you need bioweapons labs for since they're highly illegal? I mean, he's admitting to committing crimes against humanity. 46 bioweapons labs. You see, and now the Chinese said that they made a report to the United Nations. They said, no, the United States has 336 bioweapons labs around the world. Well, now Joe Biden said that you don't need an assault rifle. Well, what do they need with 336 bioweapons labs around the world? What are their intentions? And they have Lloyd Austin trying to explain that. That is hard to explain, but I'm sure he's up to it. Next image. He's he was on the board of Raytheon, the big defense contractor. So that's what he's over there in Europe doing. He's over there selling weapons. He's a weapons salesman. That's why you need a war, a good war, to use up a lot of weapons, so you need to buy some more. Next image. Now, I'm not going to – is this the biggest you can make it? Because I can't actually read it. But anyhow, I'm not going to – these are all going to be posted. These are posted already. These are posted already on the Telegram. But move it to the left, because all I really want to show you here is to the other side, and drop it down so I can read the title. The other way. No, drop it down so I can read the title on top. There's three different, the actual graphs are on Telegram, as I said, but basically you're going to see three or four different graphs like this, and you see the spike all the way on the right-hand side. That's indicating the deaths that occur, that have occurred once the vaccine campaign got started, and the deaths are from different, looking at it from different angles. But you can see that in the past, you know, there was a certain death rate that was bouncing along on the bottom. Then all of a sudden it started to increase, and then those huge spikes. that corresponds to the vaccination campaigns. So next image, which will be a little, it'll be similar. Okay, you can't really read that, but this is something that we've discussed concerning with chemtrails. Those blurry names up there, cryptosporosis, candidiasis, coccidiomycosis, cryptomycosis, these are funguses. These are fungi. And so we talked about this, that they spray the fungal spores in the atmosphere. And then you can see at the end, again, a spike in these lung infections caused by these fungal spores that are found in chemtrails. And these infections are very hard to treat in healthy people. If they're a healthy person like me, I got this last year under chemtrails, and I was able to treat myself and recover. But now, what about a person who got the injection, who has vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency? They breathe this in. Hey, this is a death sentence. So these are the fungal deaths that are taking place. Next image. Now, this is a little confusing here, but again, we're looking at death rates from different causes in different populations of people. Now, in the middle, you see a green line. And that's kind of like, that's the normal death rate in a population of unvaccinated people. And then you see these other colors high above the green line or spiking high above the green line. And that's the people who got either one, two, three, or four different shots. It depends on what combination of shots they got. You see, but they all had a higher death rate immediately after the injection than the normal population. So the takeaway point, vaccinated people, and we're using that term vaccination loosely because it's not really a vaccine. The vaccines don't kill people. But essentially, the takeaway point is this. The people who got the shot have a much higher death rate than unvaccinated people from all causes. Next image. So the best way to protect your life is to avoid vaccination. And this, again, I wish we could find a way to blow these slides up so you can read them better. But this study shows that the vaccine has caused children to suffer vaccine-associated enhanced disease. And they have all kinds of illnesses. I think we showed a study last week showing brain damage in children associated with the shot. So again, why is the White House pushing vaccination of children ages 5 to 12? Well, it's because they want to cause these vaccine injuries. You would have to know that they know what we're talking about here. And they're doing it anyhow because that's what their intention is, to kill your children. I mean, keep in mind, anybody who kills unborn children, they don't mind killing born children. I don't care how old they are. Go ask Justin Bieber. Next image. Okay, so now this is showing you the monkeypox outbreak. And you see it's confined mostly to North America, Europe, Australia, and I think that's Argentina in South America. Okay, so these are where all the gay men came from to go to the party in the Canary Islands, and now they have this so-called monkeypox. Now there's a relationship between the monkeypox and the vaccination campaigns. So let's look at the next image, please. I think it should be the next one. Yes, so you can see that the monkeypox, which is shown on top in blue, the monkeypox distribution in blue corresponds with the Pfizer vaccine in red. So what people are suspecting is that one of the side effects, at least of the Pfizer vaccine, is monkeypox. that there may not actually be a true monkeypox outbreak. This might just be a breakthrough of viral illnesses that the person had in the past that their immune system was suppressing. But because of the weakening of the immune system, now you have an outbreak of these immune suppressive rashes. And they're just calling it monkeypox, kind of like as a joke. Next image. And here's another one of the, again, the mortality rate. I can't really read it myself. It's out of image, but I think it's, herpes. Yeah, so this is showing you the reported cases. I think somebody needs to mute their phone. So again, move it to the left, please.
But I was much out here. Get off my man. I don't want you to be.
Unmute, Dr. Aline.
He's not here anymore. Why are we getting our best performance?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so move it to the left.
Are you on your iPad? Dr. Aline? Okay, you may be muted again. Okay. There you go. Are you on your iPad?
No, it's my phone.
Okay, because you can make yours bigger. That's why you probably can't see it because you're on the phone. Just take it and drag it and open it up because it's really big on the screen. So just make it.
Okay, okay. So this is just showing you what the other graphs showed. Only this is looking at the number of herpes cases, herpes outbreaks related to the vaccination campaign. So anybody that has, and that would be about 75% of people, they have some form of herpes virus in their body. It's the most common infection that there is probably. And so after you get the injection, then that herpes manifests itself. In some form, depending on what type of herpes you have. So again, it just shows the breakdown of the human immune system as a result of the vaccination campaign. So next image, please. And this is similar. These are the herpes shingles and multiple organ dysfunction syndromes related to vaccination compared to normal. So you see everything is skyrocketing, thousands of percent higher than it's ever been. These are just unknown types of disease outbreaks. And that's why the hospitals are jam-packed. These are the people that got poisoned with the injection, and they're suffering from all of these things all at once. Next image. And well, again, this is looking at shingles, which is just chicken pox. Anybody had chicken pox, once they get the injection, now you're going to get, you have a high percentage chance of getting what they call shingles. Well, that's the same thing. Next image, please. Now the government reports that COVID vaccination can cause acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And this is why we're seeing a sudden death syndrome, sudden adult death syndrome, they call it, and monkeypox. So this is the government itself saying that the vaccine that we made you take, remember the vaccine that we mandated that you had to take? Oh, it's giving you AIDS now. You see, the government is now laughing in your face. Next image. Now this headline, remember when adrenochrome was a conspiracy theory? Now it's a conspiracy fact in the form of youth transplants. So basically, the article, the full article, is on my Telegram group. There's companies that are making billions of dollars selling youth serum taken from teenagers and selling it for as much as $8,000. I forget what the amount for a pack of probably about 500 cc's for $8,000 to millionaires to keep them young. So they're harvesting blood, they're harvesting tissues and organs from young people. Now these companies, one of them was put out of business for obviously possibly criminal activity. I mean, they wanted to know, where are you getting this tissue from young people that you're selling to rich people to keep them young? And so that's where the track got a little bit murky. But it makes you wonder about all the young people coming across the southern border. See, are they being harvested? What happens to them once they cross the Rio Grande River? What happens to them? They seem to disappear into, you know, a bottomless pit. So maybe they're being harvested for their blood and for their organs to keep these old people that somehow keep going, keeping them young. Look at the Queen of England. So you can read the whole article for yourself. It's there. Next image, please. let me see here. This is just the... This is just what was published, I believe, on the CDC website. These are the symptoms of monkeypox: fever, headache, muscle aches, backache, swollen lymph nodes, chills, exhaustion. And these are what the rashes look like. Although I pointed out and other people have pointed out that these rashes look just like the kinds of rashes we used to see in AIDS patients. And so since everybody got the shot and they have vaccines, induced acquired immune deficiency, maybe what we're just looking at are the same manifestations of AIDS that we used to see 30 years ago. Everybody has AIDS. They got the shots. Maybe that's what we're looking at. I think that is what we're looking at. Because natural monkeypox hardly infects people. So this must be something else. Next image. And so I think this might be the last image. This is just a cell tower emitting radiation to your cell phone, to your iPad, to your computer, to other devices. And now it comes to light that this radiation may actually be harmful and should be avoided. And so we're going to highlight some of the connections between radiation of this type and radiations of other types, and how it may actually impact your health, especially in the environment of COVID-19 and the vaccine campaign and all the rest of it. Was that the last one? I think it was.
Yes, sir, that was the last one.
Okay. All right. So I think we can open up for our phone line for questions or testimonies. There's a few other headlines. I'm just, while you're setting that up, the Teamsters Union is about ready to go on strike. You know, of course they deliver all of the food. Those are the truck drivers, but they're saying they can't make a living. The wages aren't good enough. The fuel costs of diesel. You think gasoline is high? Diesel's even higher. So the Teamsters Union are threatening to go on strike. Talk about supply chain disruptions. Then, of course, the epidemic of this sudden adult death syndrome, young people, millennials, the death rate has increased. Remember, I reported weeks ago the death rate among millennials had increased 84%. Now it's up 94%. You see, so those are the people, the working age group, 25 to 55. These were the people that were told it's the jab or your job. Now it's your life. And so they're dying in the sleep. And they're dying from, I showed you the picture of those amyloid fibers. So if that's in your heart, that's a heart attack. And it looks like a blood clot, but technically it's not. So So do we have anybody on the line?
Those on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand. If you have a question or a testimony, if you're on the Facebook Live, please put your question in the chat.
Here's an interesting article. The U.S. wants to pick a war with China, but most of the ammunition is made in China. You can't make this stuff up.
Yes, sir. No one in the Zoom so far with the questions. I'm checking the Facebook. Sister Kai, I'm not sure where you are, so let me check the Facebook Live. All right, we have Brother Craig. No one in the Zoom so far with the questions. I'm checking.
Okay.
Salam alaikum, Dr. Lee.
Alaikum salam. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Yourself?
I'm fine. Thank you, Allah.
I just had a quick question, Dr. Lane. Somebody asked me a question, and I was kind of stuck on answering the question. But a friend of mine, she asked me a question. If somebody has been vaccinated working around animals that people eat, like cows or chickens or fish, can they spread the contaminants from the COVID vaccine onto the animals? I'm not sure if that was ever asked before, but
the answer is definitely yes, and it can go back and forth. I mean, like the spike protein is what gets passed back and forth. Okay, so yes, vaccinated people can pass it to animals. Animals who are vaccinated can pass it to people. In fact, the original model for self-spreading vaccines was done in animals, bats, as a matter of fact. So yes, the answer to that is yes. And it's also related to, and I mentioned this earlier in passing, you remember about a year and a half ago, the meat packing plants, the slaughterhouses were all shut down around the world?
Yes, sir.
This is my suspicion. I never had any proof of what I'm about to say, but it's my belief that was all a coordinated effort to inoculate the livestock, the cattle, the pigs, the chickens, turkeys. So then if the livestock, which is a part of the food chain, is all inoculated with the spike protein, then when people eat that, you see, then they're ingesting the spike protein, or even when they're around that, you know, breathing the same air as these animals, you see, and then of course, you recall that right after that, there was a massive death and illness taking place among meat packing plant workers. And they went on strike, and there was all kinds of problems. The other thing to keep in mind or take into consideration concerning meat packing plants and inoculated animals is what happened in China, where drones were flown over Chinese farms, inoculating animals, killing them. And so most of the meat packing plants in America are owned by the Chinese. And so if the Chinese would be playing a game of payback, then it wouldn't be surprising that they might want to poison the food supply in America, just like America poisoned their food supply. This might, all these things might just be acts of war, of undeclared war. I think they are.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yes. I believe the spike protein can infect any mammalian species, any warm-blooded animal. Do we have any other calls?
Yes, sir. We have brother.